When Congress passed the 1996 Welfare Reform Bill, officially titled Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, or TANF for short, the American economy was on the rise. 15 years later, as that bill approaches its expiration date at the end of next month, the national poverty rate has spiked and unemployment among single mothers has doubled to the highest it has been in 25 years. While the need for reauthorization is acute, this is also an opportunity to make some changes in the policy. So this week, two representatives from Sonoma State University will be visiting Capitol Hill to testify. One of them is sociology professor and researcher Sheila Katz.
I will be talking about how higher education has become a way for low-income families to weather economic recessions. And a student at Sonoma State will be talking about her experiences with welfare and trying to find suitable child care while she's pursuing her higher education.
That firsthand perspective will be offered by Crystal England, a graduate student in political science who is also the single mother of a fifth-grade daughter.
I am both a success by most standards and yet a failure of the Welfare to Work program because I did not go straight from welfare to work. I went from welfare to education and higher education. I want to communicate that that's not a failure, that maybe perhaps the goals of the program need to be restructured.
More broadly, England adds, it's crucial for policymakers to hear directly from those who are most immediately affected by their policies.
When our leaders go to make policy, they're not trying to hurt people or they're not trying to disenfranchise a specific group, but they just merely don't understand the barriers that we face. People need to know not only the issues that parents face, but the issues that children face when parents aren't able to go to work or to remain on a welfare program.
One such area of vital importance to parents is child care, which England says should be addressed in the context of aiding parents in moving out of the welfare system.
If what they're trying to create is an ascension out of poverty, then they need to make the thresholds high enough to where people can exit poverty and begin to pay for their child care. Where they currently are, they're below a level that parents are able to reach self-sufficiency. If they get a promotion, if they get a raise, they don't make enough to pay their child care costs, and then they end up having to quit their job and go back on welfare or find some other program in order to make sure that their children are well taken care of. And so it just really maintains poverty.
Accomplishing that, she adds, requires some recognition of the relationship between wages and child care costs.
In California, minimum wage is $8 and child care is $4 or more per hour for a school-aged child. So clearly at that point, half of somebody's paycheck would be going towards child care. That's something that the federal government does need to look at.
England also hopes to call attention to what she terms the dissonance between the ways that state and federal rules implement the same policies.
Whereas federal seems to want to empower parents to be able to make decisions and to be educated with respects to child care in order to make those decisions, the state policy seems more about either A, just fulfilling those requirements as inexpensively as possible, or B, just telling parents how to do it.
Vaccinations are one good example of that, England says. While federal policy encourages parents to make their own choices about what is best for their children, California's rules seem coercive and authoritarian in their approach to the same decision. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.